So number one, I'm glad you're here this morning in the house of the Lord. And we've been preaching through, have begun to preach through Mark this year. And I think this is our seventh or eighth, maybe ninth message. I'm not sure, has all fallen out yet. And it will speed up a little bit. Just this first chapter, Mark's just jumping from different things, just real excited about being able to write about the life of the Lord Jesus. And these verses here this morning is going to afford me an opportunity to preach on the home. And I don't do a lot of preaching on the home. And I used to do a lot of it when I was younger, because back when I was younger, I had all the answers. I could tell you how to do everything. And if you didn't do it how I said you're supposed to do it, you was a heathen. And if you just listen to some young punk preacher tell you how to run your home, you would be better off. And then my youngins went from being toddlers, where you can just structure everything, to teenagers, amen, making me want to pull my hair out. And I have learned, and I love my family. Don't you get me wrong, I love my family, but as I've got older, I ain't preaching as an expert today. I'm not preaching as an expert. I'm preaching as a man of God. This message for my own family, for myself, and for you and your family today. And I think it'll be a help to us. The Lord really, really has put a burden on me about this morning. And so I'm going to preach a little while. If I don't get done, we'll finish it up this evening or some other time. The Bible said in verse number 29, we've gone verses 1 through 28. Look in verse number 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Ammon, they tell him of her. Now, I'll get to it later. That little old English word Ammon just means directly or immediately. So they told him, Ammon, they tell him of her. They said immediately, Lord, here's the situation that she's in. The Bible said, and he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, them that were possessed with devils. Notice what verse 33 said, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Let's pray together one more time and ask the Lord to help us today. Heavenly Father, this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, how grateful we are again for the opportunity and privilege to enter into this place. Lord, we don't take that lightly. We don't take it, Lord, as something for granted. Lord, we know today that, Lord, we're blessed to have even been able to make our way here. But, Lord, it would be a waste of our time. Lord, if the Spirit of the Lord didn't come by and make alive the Word of God. Lord, we've sung these songs, and Lord, they've stirred my heart. I'm thankful that love lifted me, an old account was settled. That, Lord, since the day you saved me, I've had that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Lord, thank you for those reminders in song. But Lord, I pray that, Lord, now you take the Word of God, our lifeline. Lord, the lamp that is to our feet and the light that it is to our path. And Lord, may it shine for us today. Lord, I'm a preaching, Lord, as one that needs help, to others that need help as well. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, you'd be pleased to come by and help us. Give us a touch of God, Lord, upon our preaching. And Lord, may the fire of the Word of God burn in our midst. May lives be challenged and families be helped. And Lord, may there be a big change, Lord, as we leave this place today. For all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Jesus, we've been studying Jesus' life. And in Mark chapter number 1, we have come through the introductory things that Mark has to say. We've seen him baptized, tempted in the wilderness. We've seen him come out of the wilderness and his earthly ministry having begun. We understand that it begins to take on a very public ministry. And as we think about the Lord's earthly ministry, it occurred in three primary places. We understand that he taught and ministered in public and open spaces, much like the Mount of Olives, as he would gather men and women and boys and girls around and give them the Sermon on the Mount in those open places for all to hear. Large crowds, great multitudes would come and hear the Son of God preach the Word of God and give them this doctrine that God had sent for them. At other times, he would step into a boat, launch out a little way off the shore, and the multitudes would gather along the shoreside, and he would preach literally to thousands in public and open spaces. We found in Mark chapter number 1, our last message and last section of verses, that it was not uncommon of the Lord to go into synagogues and there sit down in those community worship buildings and take the Word of God and the Scripture and begin to preach and teach and perform miracles and have a ministry in those places known as synagogues. When we come to our text verses, we're reminded that the third and maybe the most prominent place that Christ ministered was that in the place of homes. In fact, when you study the life of the Lord Jesus, I found it interesting just pondering on this, and it may do us good at some point to preach on all of them in order one of these days. How many times the Lord went into somebody's home and sat down and ministered there to a home, a family in need. Jairus had a daughter that was sick and it died, and Jesus went to that home and raised that youngin from the dead. He came by Zacchaeus one day, Zacchaeus having climbed the tree to see the Lord, and Jesus in a sense said, "Come down, amen, I'm going to your house today." And he went to his home, and what a difference and a change that was made when Jesus went into the homes of those that were scattered throughout the hillsides of the land of Israel in his public ministry. These verses we read this morning are centered around miracles Jesus did in Capernaum in the home of Simon and Andrew. Again, our verse said in verse number 29, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogues, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John." And so they've just left the synagogue. They've come out of this time of Christ's power and Christ's authority in teaching and preaching the Word of God. And what a time it was. They were amazed there. They were astonished there. And wonders had been done in that service that they had just left. Now Jesus finds himself in the home of these two disciples. And what great things the Lord is going to do from this very home. As we read these verses, I want to draw your attention. I'll give you my thought and jump right into the outline and breaking down the thoughts the way the Lord has given this to us today. Not only is Jesus in these verses going to do a miracle in this home, and we'll deal with that, in verses 29 through 31, you'll find that Simon Peter's mother-in-law has fell sick with a fever, and the Lord is simply going to, amen, deal with this situation that is in this home, raise her up from her sickness, cause the fever to cease, and she's going to be brought, and this home is going to have a great revival brought to it, whereby ministry is going to be able to be performed there to those that are in the house. But it's through this home he will reach many others who have needs from this very place. For the Bible said that when this miracle was done, that it was at even in verse number 32, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them and were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. You say, what door? The door of the house of Simon Peter. And so it was from that home and it was from that place that the Lord is going to provide some help and some hope for so many others who are in need. By what he did, here's kind of the vein of thought that I want to get into, is that by what he did for this home, it became a home that the Lord could use to help others. Amen. He came to this home with all its needs, with all its trouble, with all the burdens that they were bearing. They get Jesus to stop by and pay them a visit. He helps them. And then their home literally becomes the hospital that the Lord is going to use to make an impact on so many other people that are going to come from far and wide. And the Lord is going to be able to help them from the very door of a home that, amen, when the morning started, had needs themselves. And so today, I think as we think about this text, in light of our homes, in light of the Lord doing something for us, I believe it ought to be the desire of our heart as we are, amen, if in fact we are Christian homes, that the Lord would use our home, that the Lord would use our families to be a help to others, that God would desire to use our homes to reach. But the fact of the matter is, all of that was predicated on Jesus being welcomed in this home. Amen. They must be helped before they can be a help. Amen. There are issues they have that must be settled, and Jesus is going to have to deal with before, amen, their home and their family can be used to do anything for anyone else. It's amazing to me in my own ministry how many folk desire to be a help that in fact I know good and well need help themselves. And Jesus understood that, and Jesus knew all that he was going to do. Amen. Jesus knew this was going to be his headquarters. This was going to be, amen, a place that he was going to reach others through. But, amen, he's going to have to help this family first. And then as he helps them, he's going to be able to use them. And so I want to preach along this line, if the Lord will help me, on this question today: can Jesus use your home? Can Jesus use your home? Has Jesus touched your home? Has the Lord put his power upon your family that indeed you can be used of the Lord? Amen. In his service, in his ministry, amen, to be a help to that of others. Can he get glory there? Amen. Can he manifest his power there that he would use what he is doing in our homes to, amen, draw the attention of others that they would desire, that they would crave, that they would long for and even seek after him to do for them what is evident he has done for us. Amen. Can Jesus use your home? Is your home usable? Most homes in this day, amen, that claim to be Christian, that, amen, even sit in churches today. My friend, there's so much trouble and division and scorn and bitterness and anger and sin. Amen. It ain't no wonder our families can't be used, because, amen, we've not allowed the Lord Jesus to help us. Amen. I'm not preaching from a soapbox today. Amen. I'm not telling you I got all the answers for all the little different ins and outs. Amen. In fact, in these last days, amen, in trying to minister to people and help folk, amen, I find myself going, I ain't got a clue, amen, as to what to tell folk and how to counsel them, amen, other than to say this today, amen, the only answer we'll ever find, amen, the only answer we'll ever need for our homes being able to be used, amen, is that we must first find help from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're asking the question, can Jesus use your home? Amen. Are you interested in that today? Are you interested in the Lord Jesus helping you? Amen. Are you interested in the Lord? Amen. Taking you wherever you may be in this moment of time, whatever the problems may be, the issues may be, whatever, my friend, has attached itself to your home and has, my friend, bogged it down and burdened it down, amen, enslaved into some sort of an issue. Amen. Are you interested in the Lord meeting you where you are? You say, preacher, I don't think the Lord could ever use my home. Amen. I don't think Simon Peter ever imagined that day. Amen. When after that service, I think maybe he thought, if I, and we'll see it in a moment. Amen. If there is any hope, it'll have to come from Jesus. Amen. But Jesus didn't just help it. Amen. Jesus didn't just raise his mother-in-law up. Amen. Jesus did not just lift the burden, amen, off of this home and make them whole again. Amen. He went beyond all of that and he used them for his honor and for his glory. Are you interested in that today? Amen. If you're going to be used, you're going to have to be helped. Amen. If you're going to quit the beating and the banging and the fussing and the cussing, amen. If you're going to stop the fighting and the feuding, it, amen, put out the fevered hot tempers that are going on in our day. Amen. There's only one way to do that. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ must be preeminent in our home. Amen. He's got to be the one that sends the help. He's got to be the one that puts it all together. Amen. And when you can, I'm glad we'll see in the text today, amen, the Lord Jesus can. Amen. And so let me give you three or four or five things that, amen, the Lord has shown me here in this text. Amen. All along the line of Jesus coming into this home, helping this home, and my friend, in the end, using this home. Amen. Number one, let me say that, and we'll see in the text, Jesus' entrance in the home. Jesus' entrance into the home. The Bible said in verse number 29, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. And so the Bible plainly declares that there was a definitive moment of time. And that my friend, he had not always been there. Amen. We don't know if he had been there in the past. Amen. But this much we know in this verse. Amen. There was a time, a definite time, when Jesus was made welcome into this home. Amen. I'm thankful that Jesus, amen, we'll see in a moment, he was interested in their home. Amen. He wasn't going to withhold himself from a home that was going to make him welcome. In fact, amen, if the Lord Jesus is ever going to have a home, someone is going to have to open up their home to him. Amen. In his earthly ministry, it was said, amen, the foxes have holes, and the birds in the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He had no place to call a home safe. Amen. The homes that open their door to him. Amen. And may I say, I'm glad that Jesus, amen, entered into this home. And I'm glad Jesus entered into any home. Amen. If you go have a family in this day in a home that, amen, is for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. If you're going to have a Christian home, let me just say right here, amen, it's going to take a saved husband and it's going to take a saved wife, amen, to produce a home and an environment, amen, that can be used for the honor and the glory of God. Amen. You're wasting your time trying to raise children. Amen. If you yourself are not saved. Amen. There'll have to be a time when Jesus enters into your home. Amen. I'm telling you this day, I understand. Amen. All the statistics, I understand how bad it looks. Amen. But I'm telling you, they ain't a home that, my friend, amen, can make it without the Lord Jesus Christ being entered into it. Amen, as I consider this, amen, Jesus' entrance into the home, it speaks to me of His entrance into a heart and into a life. Amen, into my friend, that family. I love what Paul said to the Philippian jailer when he kept that, amen, from killing himself in that midnight hour. Amen, that Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Amen, is a preaching a household salvation. Amen, in other words, it's got to start with you. Amen, it's got to be real in you, for it's going to be real in anybody else in your home. Amen, and Jesus must enter into, amen, the sinner's life, Jesus' entrance in the home. Amen, we see, my friend, a picture of salvation. Amen, may I say, as Simon and Andrew had already been saved. Amen, it speaks to me of Jesus entering into a Christian home. Amen, a place maybe where He has been pushed out. A place where maybe He has been away for some time. Amen, and them realizing we have needs and we have burdens that, amen, we need Jesus to be entered into this place again. Amen, may I say to each of us today, amen, Jesus must make an entry into our home. Amen, notice the inspiration in light of this entrance. Amen, the Bible said, and forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue. Amen. Pay close attention to that phrase. Amen. You see, they had seen and heard things amazing. Amen. They had been astonished at what they had seen and heard. Amen. Just a short time ago in the house of God. And the doctrine that they had heard and the teaching that Christ had given them inspired them in the end of that service. Amen. To say we need Jesus down in the house. Amen. We are stirred. Amen. What we have seen and what we have heard and what we have felt. Amen. This one who is so amazing in the house of God. Amen. Has inspired us to what? Amen. Him to come to our home and do something for us. Amen. Do you ever get inspired? Amen. Does coming to church ever inspire you? Amen. I'm convinced most folk. Amen. Most folk and families that are falling apart. Amen. It ain't no wonder Jesus ain't down at their house. Amen. Ain't no wonder their homes are in a mess today. Amen. They don't ever get anything out of church. And that friend, they're never inspired. They're never challenged. They're never astonished. Amen. They're never allowed the Word of God. Amen. To move them and stir them in their life. Amen. To fiddle on their cell phones. Amen. They draw and they doodle and they look around and they're eat up with all sorts of distractions. And that friend, when Peter went down the house of God, I believe there's something happened down there. Amen. That he said, I don't know what it is, but I'm drawn. Amen. To take what I've got at the house of God. Amen. I'm inspired to want to have that down in my house. Amen. I noted this, said, amen, they had entered into the house of God. And in doing so, they are inspired to have Jesus enter into their home. Amen. Can I say this is the house of God? Amen. And I understand what different theologies there are. And, amen. The hyper-dispensational crowd. Amen. It's the house of God. That's the Old Testament. Amen. But Paul said, amen, to Timothy, I'm writing to you that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Amen, which is the church. Amen, and so we're in the house of God. Amen, but what we get here ought to inspire us. Amen, to say we want what God is saying here. We want what God is doing in this place of being prevalent down in my house. Amen. And so they were in the house of God. They were inspired because they had been there. They were inspired because, amen, they were attentive when they got there. They didn't just attend it, they were attentive. Amen. And all of this inspired them, amen, to want Jesus down at their house. Amen. The Bible said there when they were come out of the synagogue, that is the inspiration. And notice with me the invitation. The Bible said they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. Amen. Why did they go to Simon and Andrew's house? Brother L, this is real deep now. Y'all have to pay real close attention, but I'm about ready to say, amen, why here and not somewhere else? Amen. Because they were the ones who invited him. Amen. And may I say, Jesus always show up, amen, where he's made welcome. Amen. Jesus will always manifest himself, amen, where the invitation has been extended to him. Amen. You say, I just don't know why Jesus don't help me. I don't know why Jesus don't put my home together. I don't know why we can't find, amen, the help that we need as though it's Jesus' fault. Have you ever welcomed him? Have you ever sat down and said, Lord, I'm willing for you to come in. Amen. Listen, they're not living in some palace. They're not in some mansion. These are common. Amen. These are common Israelite. Amen. Just ordinary people of the day. They didn't have a large house. Amen. In fact, their home would seem to be, amen, of the common day, probably pretty full at the moment. You got Simon Peter, his wife. Amen. You've got her mother that's living there. Andrew's shacked up. Amen. In there in their house. And my friend, he's robbed a room and won't move out on his own. And my friend, oh, there's so much going on in that home. Amen. But on that day, they made an invitation so as to say, amen, we'll make room for Jesus to come to our house. Amen. We'll put a seat at the table. Amen. We'll clear a room out that he can rest in. Amen. We'll give him our favorite seat. Amen. If we have to, we'll rearrange the furniture. Amen. We'll haul things out. Amen. If Jesus will just come by our home. And I say that I like this about them and this matter, this invitation. And my friend, we find that they no doubt offered to host the Lord if he would but come to their house. And the thought here I want to give to you, and I'm bogging down hard and fast. But here's the thought. They didn't leave Jesus at church.
Amen. Amen.
We'll tell you why homes are falling apart in this day. People come to the house of God, they get their little dose of Jesus, and they never take Jesus home with them. Amen. They're not willing to get rid of things out of their home. Amen. They're not willing to make room for him. Amen. They took him home with them. Amen. And when they made the invitation, they were saying, amen, we don't just want to see you three times a week at the synagogue. Amen. We don't want to have to come down here to get all that we're going to get out of you. They, my friend, made an invitation and are saying, amen, we want more than, amen, Jesus in church. Jesus, would you come home and enter into our place of residence? Would you be willing to do that? Amen. I know this ain't shouting ground. That's all right. Amen. The inspiration and the invitation, but notice the inclination. I love this point. Maybe you'll give me a grunt right here. Amen. After there's an inspiration, a stirring in their heart, because of what they had heard and what they had seen, it challenged and changed them. Amen. It led to an invitation whereby they're not content to leave him in the synagogue. They want him and invite him to come home. Amen. But would you not? Amen. Would you not think about this? Amen. Maybe somewhere when they invite the Lord, maybe they're thinking, he's got a lot going on. And there's a lot of other folk who have needs. And there's probably some people more important than we are. Amen. That he's got to get to. And he's probably got to get on down the road. We're already seeing in Mark chapter number 1 that the Lord is a very busy preacher. He He's a busy Savior. He has no idle time. And yet they come and they invite Him, amen, to find that. Amen. He is as inclined to enter into their home as they are desirous to have Him there. My friend, can I say today, I'm glad that the Lord is interested in our homes. Amen. I'm thankful He is inclined, amen, to go where He is invited. Our souls and hearts have been inspired. Amen. Oh, I'm glad that His going with Him, amen, reveals His own inclination to go. Amen. They invited, but He took them up on the invitation. Amen. He said, if you want Me, I'm there. If you're going to make room for Me, I'm there. If you got a place at the table, I'm there. Amen. If you're putting biscuits on the table for Me, I'll eat them. Amen. If you want Me to sit down and teach you in the hole, I'll be there and instruct you. He was inclined, amen, to go to this home and to help them. There's not a family, there's not a home today, amen, that my friend the Lord is not interested in helping. Amen, He cares about you. He's interested. Amen, He's just waiting on us to get inspired. Amen, He's just waiting on us to make an invitation. Amen, and if you'll get interested in Him, I promise you, you'll find He's interested in you. Amen. You say, preacher, we're too far gone. You don't know. And my friend, there's a lot of folk. Amen. Their family will never fall apart physically. Amen. But mostly they're in shambles and they're in need. And they're drowning and they know it. Amen. Can I tell you today? Amen. And I know the context. Amen. I know the context, Brother Chad. Amen. In regard to the church. Amen. But would it not be so of our home that Jesus said, amen, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with Me. Amen. You know what the Lord was to say? I know how bad a shape you're in. Amen. I know how far you've gone. I know, amen, all the needs that you don't even understand you really have. And if you'll just get interested, amen, what is the Lord telling us? He said, I am inclined to do something for you where you are.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for Jesus' entrance in the home. Let me give you the second point, and maybe this is as far as we'll make it today. Not only Jesus, we see Jesus' entrance into the home, but notice with me Jesus' encounter at the home. He enters there, and maybe when you're walking up to the outside, you'd go, boy, this just looks like a perfect home. Amen. From the outside, everything looks wonderful. I had a preacher call me just a few weeks back, and my kids had been down to his church in a meeting, and he called me and he said, Brother Ledbetter, he said, I just love your kids. He said, you got perfect kids. He said, your kids are just so wonderful. And he just kept on going. And the longer he got going, the more I got laughing. He said, what are you laughing at? I said, I live with them. And they live with me. And I said, preacher, I'm thankful for the compliment. I said, I really am. I said, in fact, amen, I want you to know this. And if you see anything good in me or my kids and our family and our home, amen, I promise you it's the grace of God. Amen, it ain't we that have made us. Amen, it is the Lord. I said, preacher, if you knew all, amen, all the ways we've received help and still need help from God, amen, it would blow your mind. You wouldn't be saying that. Amen, you wouldn't have had me preach for you this week. I said, preacher, I'm telling you that, amen, I'm telling you I appreciate what you said, but there's more than meets the eye. I'm telling you, take the greatest looking home and family in this place today. I promise you, there's some things if Jesus gets in your home, He's going to encounter.
Amen.
There ain't a family, there ain't a home, Amen. There's not a family life, a home life. Amen. All of us, my friend, amen, need to understand, and this may be why we don't want Jesus to enter in. Amen. We don't want Him encountering our home situations. Amen. Amen. Boy, I feel like I'm choking up here. Amen. The encounter, His encounter at the house. Amen. Let me say number one. Amen. The awareness of the problem. And by the way, amen, what He's going to encounter is a problem. There's a problem in that home, and Peter can't fix it, and Sister Simon can't fix it. Amen. And Andrew can't fix it. Amen. Their friends, James and John, cannot, amen, solve the issues that are going on there. Jesus is going to have to encounter it. Amen. Notice with me the awareness of the problem. Amen. This did not catch Jesus off guard. The Bible said, now when we read Mark's account, amen, the Bible said they entered in the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Amen. Look with me if you will. Amen. Look with me, and I didn't write my reference down. So, amen, let me see if I can find it in Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. Amen. This is my verse. Matthew 8 verse number 14. The Bible said about this account when Matthew wrote about it, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And Brother Maurice had tells me that this did not catch the Son of God off guard. Amen. For he saw the problem before it was ever brought to light. Amen. Before they ever brought it to him. Amen. Before they ever made supplication about it. Amen. Jesus was already aware. Amen. Again, when you walk out the front of that house, amen, it probably looks like anybody else's home. Amen. Peter and Andrew probably had, amen, took time to make it as nice as they could. And boy, what a home it looked like from the sidewalk. Amen. But when Jesus walked through the door, amen, he seen something no one else could see. He was aware of the problem that was there. And I encourage you today, Jesus is aware. Amen. You say nobody understands where we're at. Nobody understands what we're going through. And I tell you today, the Son of God knows where you are. He is aware of what is going on. He's aware, my friend, of the sickness and the fevers. And he's aware, my friend, of what has crept into your home. Amen. And before it is ever brought to light, understand our Savior knows. He knows there have been things in my own home that caught me off guard that I didn't even know was in my own home. Amen. But you know what? I rest assured in. Amen. Before I ever know, Jesus knows. And He is aware, and that friend, He knows it, He sees it, and yet He still enters in.
Amen.
You say, boy, we got too many problems that if Jesus knew all our issues, He certainly wouldn't do something for us. Amen. Hey, look on up in here, Hoss, one preacher said. He already knows. Amen. And He knows better than you do and I do. Yeah. Amen. What the problems may be. Yeah. Amen. And yet, amen, in His awareness, He is still interested in us. I don't know if that helps you, but it helps me. I'm glad He's aware. I'm glad He's aware before the sickness ever manifests itself, He knew about it. I've learned when it comes to home and family, amen, from the time the sun gets up, the time the sun goes down, you may be dealing with more than you can ever even imagine. It may rock your world, but it'll never rock His. He is aware of everything. He is aware of the problems. He knows what they are. That's why it don't do you any good to ignore them. Tell you why a lot of homes are unusable by the hand of the Lord Jesus today, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, is they're trying to hide from God what God already knows about them. Say amen right there. Don't make me get mean. Hey man, I'm telling you, He's aware. He's aware. You can't hide it from Him. He saw it before it happened. Amen. He saw it while it happened. He knows. Amen. And when we try to cover it up, He's still aware. Amen. You can throw a blanket over it. My friend, you can throw it in a closet. Amen. You can throw it out in the backyard and try to bury it. But our Savior is aware of the problems that are in our families. The awareness of the problem, the encounter at the house, the awareness of the problem. Notice the apprehension of the problem. The Bible said in our text verse, but Simon's wife's mother lay, notice this phrase, sick of a fever. She was sick of a fever. And what an interesting way to word this. Many believe that there had been some sort of disease that had crept into her body. Amen. This is not just your average cold. This is not, amen, a woman that's feeling bad because it's allergy season. Amen. This ain't a woman that's had a few hard nights of sleep. And my friend has now been reduced to, amen, laying there in a coma state. No, this means she was burning from some sort of internal infection. Amen. Something had entered into that home. And in entering in upon that home, entered into her body. And now there is the inflaming and the feverish, amen, burning sensation. And it's indication that, amen, as small as it may be, amen, something is entered in that my friend has now brought her to a condition whereby her life is being threatened. Amen. In doing so, obviously, amen, the fear would be, amen, if it's in her today, when it be in Peter tomorrow, and it be in Peter's wife by the end of the week, who else is going to be burned? Who else is going to be infected? Who else is this going to spread to? Amen. One person in this hole has fallen, my friend, sick. Amen. Sick of a fever. And Luke 4 and verse 38. Amen. The Bible says this. It uses another word. Amen. In Luke's account, it says she was taken, amen, with this condition. That word taken, amen, indicates and speaks of being bound and enslaved to it. Amen. She can chug an entire bottle of NyQuil and it ain't going nowhere. Amen. She can go to the doctor and the doctor ain't got the answer. Amen. She can take Advil, ibuprofen, Tylenol, amen, cocktails of all sorts and all kinds. Amen. And there ain't a medication going. Amen. To bring this fever. Amen. She had been taken. Amen. She was bound, apprehended, and enslaved to this internal infection. We would be amazed how many families are bound down today. Fevered. Sin having entered in and boiling. Amen. Boiling higher and higher to a life-threatening and a home-threatening degree of an apprehension, a binding of sin upon homes and upon families. Amen. I wonder what your family, I wonder what our homes have been taken with. Amen. I wonder what has taken us and enslaved us and bound us. Amen. It could be a little root of bitterness whereby springing up. Amen. Many be defiled. Amen. It may be, my friend, anger and tempers that flare. Amen. It may be, my friend, an unforgiving spirit. Amen. It may be the feverish pitch and degree, my friend, of lust. It burns it. And secrets, my friend, done in the midnight hour. Amen. It may be secret sins that no one knows about. Amen. But make no mistake about it. Amen. When sin enters into a home, amen, that sin is bringing a fever. And that sin is going to bite. And that sin is going to take you. And you say, oh, it ain't that big a deal. Amen. It's just me. But sir, Amen. Whatever the infection is in you, it is going to spread to everybody else in your family. And I'm telling you, ma'am, amen, you let it lay there, and it's going to spread to everybody else. Amen. All I'm talking about there is need for concern. There is need, my friend, for somebody to say, amen, we can't do anything about it. We're apprehended. We're taken. And if Jesus don't do something, we're in trouble. Amen. You might as well say, man, amen, people are bound today to sin. Amen, you'd be amazed in my ministry of 20 years of pastry, how many people, how many families, men and women, who have had the feverish burning of lust in their bosom. Can't quit. Can't quit. You'd be amazed at things that my friend that I can't even say. Amen. Wouldn't even talk about how that, amen, there have been hurts and wrongs that have been done, and the grievances and the unforgiving spirits and the bitterness that is there, how it has shackled those homes and those families. Amen. They can't get over it. Amen. They can't get beyond it. It's no wonder, my friend, they're dying. It's no wonder the entirety of the family is sick. Amen. I'm telling you today, amen, young folk, be careful. Amen. What you bring into your home, what sin you allow to come. Amen. Because it don't just affect you. Amen. It infects the entire family unit. Amen. It can take an entire family over. A little bit of rebellion. A little bit of headbutting. Come on now. I know we say, oh, I'm just going to preach now. I'm just going to preach. Amen. I give up on being done at 11:30 8 minutes ago. Amen. We're so taken with things, Brother Jared. We better say, dear God, we need some help from the Lord. Child, they're just teenagers. That's just what teenagers do. And I understand some of that. Amen. Teenagers are dumb. Amen. They're dumb because they go to sleep one night at the age of 12 or 13. Their brain slips out their ear and crawls under the bed. Amen. They don't get it back till they're about 21 or 22 years old. Somewhere about 22, that brain comes crawling back and crawls back up in their cranium. Amen. I don't know how many times I'll use Sam because he can take it. He's got thick skin. What were you thinking? I wasn't thinking. That's right. You go letting young folk and mamas and daddies bring things in the home. And we wonder why there's no peace. Got R-rated movies in the house. Wonder why, what's this spirit we're feeling? Tell you what it is, you've let things come in that you don't even understand or fever. Because you see, this is not just a medical condition going on in this woman, it's spiritual. So how do you know that? Because Luke said, I believe it's Luke's account said, that he rebuked the fever. You don't rebuke a sickness unless there's a spirit behind it. So, I don't let the kids watch all that, but you let it in your home and you wonder why your home's in such a vile condition. Amen. You can't bring that because there's spirits attached to all that garbage.
Amen.
Oh, I'm a preaching today. Amen. And you go try and you let a preacher, I ain't even preaching mean this morning. But Jack, just even what I'm doing already, there's folk going, I don't like that. You know why you don't? You've been taken. And it's hard to bring people out of captivity that don't even understand they're in shackles.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen. Amen. Well, amen. We may lose members after today. Visitors may never come back, but you know it's right.
That's right.
Amen. We see the awareness of the problem. We see the apprehension of the problem. I've got to quit. Give me 3 or 4 more minutes. Notice with me in this encounter, I see the admission of the problem. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Notice back in our text verse, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Jesus is aware. The apprehension is there. She's taken. Notice what the Bible said. And anon they tell him of her. They had to make an admission of what the problem was. Jesus already knew it. I showed you. He saw when he entered the house. Amen. He, being the Son of God, knew all about it before he walked through the door. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Jesus was already aware. Amen. He knew the depths of it. He knew more. Amen. In their mind, it's just a, amen, it's just a medical thing. And Jesus is going to know, amen, that there's more to it than that. And we understand that, amen, in this moment of time, Jesus, here's how I wrote it down. Before Jesus could do something, they had to admit there was a problem. I knew it wasn't going to be much shouting today. You said, Jesus already aware of it, why don't he do something? Because he's waiting on you and he's waiting on me to admit what the problem is. Amen. This is where we try to keep things covered from the Lord, and the Lord already knows, and we do ourselves no good. We do ourselves no good until we say, you know what, I've got a problem. We have a problem. And tell the Lord about it, making an admission of the problem. Amen. Ain't it amazing how we admit everybody else's faults and flaws and failures? You would be shocked. You'd be shocked how many times families have come and my heart breaks. And because I know it ain't easy. Doing the home life thing in these last days, it's not easy. It's not easy. But sometimes folk will reach a point, they'll reach out to me and say, preacher, we need some help. And I'm honored. I'm honored. I really am. Some folks say, well, Brother Ledbetter, he don't like to meet with folk. I don't mind meeting with folk if you want help. Because here's what I've learned people do. They'll sit down in my office and she'll start pointing her finger at him. Buddy, she can admit everything he's done. And he's on the other side when it comes his turn, and he'll point back and he'll admit everything she is and everything she's done. You ain't going to get a lick of help doing that. Amen. There's got to be admission. There's got to be personal accountability, personal taking of responsibility of admitting you have a problem. And then if you can get them past that, then it goes to, well, okay, I got some problems, but they're not as bad as his. And yeah, I understand, you know, I've got some issues, but it ain't nothing like what she's done. What in the world does that have to do when our homes are on fire today? What in the world does that have to do with anything when their marriage is falling apart, their children at stake? You would think we would reach a place where we'd sit down and say, dear God, I need help. Amen. If nobody else in this situation gets a lick of help, Lord, I need help and I'm admitting what my problem is. Lord, would you help me? See, Jesus, in the encounter of the problem, he encounters it and he's going to help them, and he's going to more than help them, he's going to use them. But it all predicated itself on them being willing to get to a place where they admit there was a problem so he could help them. Amen. I got two more main points. Y'all can't bear it this morning. Amen. And we got to go. So let's fold our Bibles very softly for a minute. Do you need help today? What I'm preaching, and I'll be honest, I've kind of been reading ahead in Mark and preparing thoughts and getting some things ready. And be honest, I didn't see this first few times I read through, Brother Mike. This week, the Lord showed me the angle on this section of Mark chapter number 1, how he wanted me to deal with it. And I'll be honest, I'm apprehensive about it. Because, buddy, if there's anybody in this room, in this service today, that could admit he ain't got a clue most days what in the world, how to raise children, how to govern a home, you're looking at somebody, and I know that's even part of my qualifications. If he know not how to rule his own house, how shall he rule the house of God? Can I be transparent? There's a lot of days I go, Lord, I don't have the answers, I can't solve. That don't mean the man of God don't have problems. Don't mean his home and family don't have issues. There's been a lot of days I just had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm coming again. Lord, we need some more help. Lord, we need, you know, them that Satan and all his wiles, one of his wiles is attacking the home and the family. Amen. Churches are suffering and our nation is suffering. I'm winding down. I'm telling you, I feel like God's wanting to make a connection. Churches in our nation is going down the tubes. Why is that? Because our homes are sick of a fever. Our homes have been taken. From all the fussing and fighting and all of that that we're trying to do, till we get Jesus in the middle of it, I ain't going to solve nothing. Can Jesus use your home? Preacher, how do I know? Has he helped you lately? Has he helped you lately? Have you made room for him? Have you cleared anything out of your home because you knew Jesus wouldn't come if you wasn't willing to get it out? Have you asked him? Oh, he won't come. Have you asked him? Preacher, he's not interested in us. We got way too much baggage and too much. Have you asked him? Try asking him today. Try asking him today. Because I got a sneaky inclination he's inclined and more interested in you than you think he is. Amen. Well, I hope you're quiet because you're thinking, let's stand together.